Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, September 12, 2012. I'm Lee Robartis. In the news tonight, a lawyer who wrote briefs on the losing side of the Citizens United case will speak in Lewiston tonight and at the University of Idaho Law School tomorrow night. We'll have an interview. University of Idaho student injured in apparent fall from fraternity roof this morning. UI faculty senate approves law school expansion in Boise, and Idaho County declares emergency due to fires. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. A 21-year-old University of Idaho student apparently fell two stories from the roof of the Alpha Tau Omega house on Deacon Avenue early this morning and is in serious condition at a Spokane hospital. His condition was listed as serious but stable. Sophomore Kurt Robel from California was airlifted to Providence Sacred Heart Hospital. Moscow Police Chief David Duke told the Daily News website Robel had internal injuries and facial fractures. He was apparently trying to open an exterior window to a locked room and slipped on frost. The Washington Criminal Justice Training Commission today granted a waiver from a 5-month police academy course to the man chosen by Spokane Mayor David Condon to be the city's new police chief. The commission said Frank Straub must instead take a 9-week course on the differences between Washington laws and procedures and those of other states. The 9-week course is usually for out-of-state police detectives working in Washington. On Monday, the Spokane City Council named Straub as Director of Law Enforcement rather than Police Chief because he had not been through the required police academy courses. The Washington Court of Appeals has denied a request by 60-year-old convicted rapist Monty Hoisington for an unconditional release. Hoisington was convicted of 2 rapes in Lewiston in 1977 and 1 rape in Clarkston in 1991 and has served his sentences. Under Washington law, Hoisington was found to be a sexually violent predator and not released when his sentences ended, but rather sent to the McNeil Island Special Commitment Center in Puget Sound. The appeals court denied a request for a full review of the Asotin County jury ruling that ruled he is a sexually violent predator. Hoisington can now seek a discretionary review of his case by the state Supreme Court. If that is not granted, then an Asotin jury will review his sexually violent predator status again soon. The Ontario Argus Observer reports Oregon State Police and Idaho law enforcement have participated in 11 raids on medical marijuana facilities under investigation for misusing Oregon medical marijuana provisions. Oregon State Police announced the raids, which took place yesterday at a press conference in Vail, Oregon, today. Police say 8 of the raids were in eastern Oregon, and the other 3 were in Boise and Nampa, Idaho. Malheur County, Oregon Sheriff Brian Wolf said substantial amounts of marijuana were confiscated, but no arrests have been made so far. Wolf said the investigation had been going on for months and did not target those who were using medical marijuana legally. The Nampa School District has voted to allow volunteers to be substitute teachers, so the district does not have to hire substitute teachers. The district has a $2.8 million budget gap and has been able to restore $250,000 for substitutes, but that is not enough for all expected teacher absences. The community volunteers must pass a background check, be tested for illegal drugs, and sign a contract outlining proper classroom behavior and their responsibilities. The local teachers union is concerned. NAMPA Education Association Vice President Carmi Scheller told the Idaho Press Tribune, to think that someone who hasn't had any training can step in and have a successful instructional day that's focused on getting kids to all the benchmarks or keeping them on task, that's a hard statement. The Environmental Protection Agency says the former Smurfit Stone Container Corporation pulp mill in Frenchtown, Montana, may have to be declared a Superfund site. An EPA study of the site about 5 miles west of Missoula shows high levels of dioxins, furans, heavy metals, and other hazardous chemicals, especially in the soil under sludge ponds at the site. The EPA report says the nearby Clark Fork River could be in danger if a levee that protects a series of sludge and wastewater ponds should fail. Cooler weather has helped firefighters battle the 22,000-acre sheep fire near U.S. Highway 95 north of Riggins. 12 miles of the lower Salmon River remains closed to boaters, allowing helicopters to dip water. The 25,000-acre McGuire complex near Dixie, east of Grangeville, also was slowed down by cooler weather. Firefighters are continuing to hold the containment line on the south and southeast edge of the McGuire fire. Patrols are looking for spot fires along the paved Forest Service Road 222, which is the main road in and out of Dixie. Helicopters with water buckets and fire engines are continuing to work the fire. Crews are rotating off the McGuire complex for mandatory rest and being replaced by a Type 1 fire crew, in part because warmer and drier weather is expected in the next few days, making more blowups possible. Meanwhile, Idaho County Commissioners voted to declare a county disaster area yesterday, saying the county is losing money because of extra law enforcement activity due to the fires and because 200 homes remained threatened. Elsewhere in Idaho, updates from the Mustang Complex fires indicates lower temperatures and less wind moderated fire behavior and allowed more successful burnout operations on the southwest corner of the fire near North Fork. Level 3 evacuations remain in effect in the Highway 93 corridor from the North Fork Fire Station to Quartz Creek, Hull Creek, Hughes Creek, and Ditch Creek. The Incident Information System reports 10 forest area closures are now in effect, including both the Salmon, Chalice, and Bitterroot National Forests areas. More homes were evacuated yesterday in eastern Washington as wildfire crews continued to battle fires there. The Wenatchee Complex fires, starting from over 50 lightning strikes over the weekend, are causing more evacuations. More blazes north of Entiat have also pushed evacuations of more than 19 homes, leading to more than 150 being evacuated from the area. A fire near Grand Coulee has destroyed 3 homes there. The University of Idaho Faculty Senate voted yesterday to approve expansion of the UI Law School in Boise. The expansion will make 2/3 of the university's law school offerings available in Boise. Second and third year law courses will be included. In 2008, the University of Idaho requested the State Board of Education approve development of a 3-year program in Boise. The State Board of Education rejected that request and instead allowed the UI to offer a 1-year program for third-year students. If given final approval by the State Board of Education, the expansion means second-year law students can take UI classes in Boise. The expansion would only be mean a small increase in the number of students in Boise. Law School Dean Don Burnett told the Daily News the planned expansion will add sharpness to the issue of whether the school will be able to fulfill its statewide mission. Burnett said, Boise was at that time the largest city in the United States that was also a state capital, which did not have a legal education program. So it was not surprising after the board's actions in 2008 that another school saw the opportunity. There has been background political chatter that this is a conspiracy to pick up the law school and move it to Boise. That has never been the college's proposal. That has never been the university's position. the other law school Burnett is referring to, is operated by Concordia College out of Portland. One of the attorneys who argued for keeping campaign spending limits in the Citizens United case will be speaking in Lewiston tonight and Moscow tomorrow night. Scott L. Nelson is an attorney with the Public Citizen Litigation Group in Washington, D.C., which argued on the losing side of the 5-4 decision that decided corporations have the same rights as individuals when it comes to spending large amounts of money on political campaigns. After a talk at Washington State University last night, I asked Nelson how the Citizens United decision is impacting this year's elections.
You know, I think the biggest impact has been the rise of super PACs and spending by nonprofit groups that in this election cycle are going to mobilize hundreds of millions of dollars with respect to the presidential candidates alone, not to mention congressional, senatorial, and state races.
Do you think Citizens United is going to be harder to reverse as time goes by, as Citizens United allows more people to be elected who maybe won't support a constitutional amendment to change things?
Well, I do think that's, you know, that's a possibility. Obviously, people become committed to the system that advantages them. But I think, you know, the countervailing consideration is that when, you know, the people of this country in numbers become concerned about an issue, they do have the ability to make changes, and it may take time, but, you know, it happens sometimes, and there can be change to the status quo despite the presence of entrenched interests.
Do you see a groundswell right now against it?
Well, it's you know, I think it's been surprising the degree to which this opinion seems to have struck a nerve, and polling on it seems to indicate that not only in the immediate aftermath of the opinion, but even after the space of you know, a year and 2 years, people remain aware of it and continue to see it as emblematic of something that they disagree with.
Okay. One way it struck a nerve probably the most would be the Montana case. Are there any similar old laws like that around the country that are being thrown out now by Citizens United?
You know, Montana was really the only state that that made an effort to defend its law. So, you know, it was the last law really standing, and it's gone now. So, as far as I'm aware, there's no other state that is making any active attempt to enforce such a law, and no similar litigation to the Montana litigation in the offing anywhere.
Okay, and finally I want to ask, what's the purpose of your speaking tour right now? What are you trying to do, raise a groundswell or just teach law students?
Well, you know, that's an excellent question. The immediate purpose was I was invited, and it seemed to me to be a good idea to talk about this issue. And I think that that if people are going to debate this issue in an informed way, they have to have a clearer understanding of how this came about, how we got here, and what the court actually did, than they're likely to get from the kinds of you know, shorthand slogans that get thrown around. So I'm trying to discuss it in a pretty in-depth way, in the hope that that an understanding of what's going on here will lead people to really be able to make the decision for themselves whether this is an issue that they want to get active on. I'd like to see them make that decision, but, you know, it seems to me that knowledge is the first step.
Scott L. Nelson of the Public Citizen Litigation Group, being interviewed in Pullman last night. Nelson argued before the U.S. Supreme Court in the Citizens United case, which invalidated federal campaign laws that had prevented corporations from using their funds to back candidates for Congress and president. The Montana corporate election financing law that Nelson referred to was 100 years old and was passed because copper barons there were controlling the state. Nelson will speak tonight at the Lewis Clark State College in Lewiston in the Sacagawea building, room 115, at 7 p.m. He will also speak at the University of Idaho Law School courtroom tomorrow night at 7. Both talks are free to the public. According to Pullman developer Dwayne Brelsford, there is only one vacancy among the 1,500 apartment units in Pullman. Brelsford told the Lewiston Tribune he has begun construction on a new 180-unit apartment complex at 1455 Brandy Way. He says he will rent mostly to Washington State University students. University spokesperson Darren Watkins says Pullman had 2,980 incoming freshmen in 2010, 2,174 in 2011, and the number for 2012 is likely to top 4,100. Watkins says there are two reasons for the increase in enrollment. Washington is close to last among states for bachelor's degrees, but is fifth on the list of importing college-educated people to take jobs. First-year students are required to live on campus, but after that they can live off campus in many different private housing complexes. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Take a look at the weather. Clear to mostly clear conditions into the middle of next week. Low tonight, 39. Tomorrow's high, 81. 84 Friday, 78 Saturday and Sunday. And 80 degrees Monday and Tuesday. Lows will be 43 Thursday night and in the mid-40s through the weekend. Currently, it is 69 degrees under fair skies in Moscow. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Remember, if you want to help KRFP keep news reports like this on the air, plus the news reports you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events, and the public affairs shows, not to mention the music and arts programming you hear every day on Radio Free Moscow, be sure to become a member of Radio Free Moscow. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students. You can mail your memberships to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you could go to the Radio Free Moscow website, KRFP.org or RadioFreeMoscow.com, to find out more ways to help Radio Free Moscow. I'm Lee Robartis. Craig Wheeler assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. Building Bridges is up next, the weekly labor report for Pacifica Radio, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. Of music at 7:30 and DJ Michelle Adams will be in at 8:30. Thanks for tuning in. Have a good night. KRFP Moscow.